In your Bible, please, Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. Once again, our attention is at the fourth chapter, and where we left our study last week at verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Remember the context. Verse 10 says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. You'll remember that this epistle comes from Paul's first Roman imprisonment, chained to a praetorium guard, hired house, 24/7. He writes this second epistle, first being Ephesians. And this letter is punctuated, beginning with, ending with, and throughout, joy, rejoicing. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy. With joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of this grace. That's how the letter begins and the letter ends, with joy because together they partnershiped with him in proclaiming the good news of Christ. Not that I speak in regard to need, verse 11, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. The experience of Paul was an experience like no other servant of the Lord, as we saw last week. Whatever the Lord had for him, he knew that the Lord was there to take him through and to use him for the praise and honor of God. Content, satisfied in whatever he was experiencing. Three times, you remember, he said he prayed for the relief from this thorn in the flesh that buffeted him. It may be that it was because of other references of not seeing well that Paul had an eye disease. It caused him to not be able to focus and to see because of a weeping of the eyes, and a very unattractive thing to be living with. A physical handicap, that which he felt was an impairment to his preaching Christ. But the Lord said to him, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power, the dunamis of God, the dynamite of God, is unleashed in our weaknesses. Paul responded, I rather then will glory in my infirmities, in that which I am experiencing in my body, the weaknesses, so that the power of God can work through me. He was content. He realized whatever the Lord was taking him through was for the purpose of using him to God's glory. That's true of us. He's placed us here, each one unique, experiencing this life uniquely with weaknesses. Weaknesses of the body, weaknesses of the mind, whatever the limitations. My grace is sufficient. In your weakness, my strength. Therefore, he declares, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Going over to 1 Peter. Way back there, almost near the end. James, Peter, 1st and 2nd, 3rd John, you're almost there. 1 Peter, chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 13. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you're blessed. Whatever you're going through is not there to beat you down. It's to buoy you up and to bless you. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled, but sanctify, set apart the Lord God in your hearts. Some translation, set apart the Lord Jesus in your hearts. And always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Sanctify, set apart Christ as Lord of your life. That's a surrendering to him. That's the Romans 12, 1 and 2 experience that every child of God needs to come to sometime in their Christian life. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. This is what you are called to do. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Surrender to him. He is Lord, sovereign. He lives within us for the purpose of this world in which he has left us to see him. And the only way that can happen is a submission to his indwelling, empowering spirit so that Christ is seen in our life. You may suffer. In fact, all those who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall, promise, suffer persecution. But be ready to give a defense. It's an interesting word, apologia. We get our word apologists. It's the word to have a reasoned understanding of your faith. That you understand as revealed by the Spirit of God in his word who and what you are now in Christ, a new creation to His glory. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a reasoned out defense, an apologia, not an apology, I'm sorry, but rather a witness to everyone who asks you the reason for the hope that is in you. We all know that it is in the flesh, in the natural man, not only difficult, but impossible to bear witness for Christ. There's apprehension. For whatever reasons, we are not bold to do that. Don't let that bother you. Even Paul himself wanted prayer to be consistently bold. But here, the emphasis is on living in such a way that those that you live among, those that you work with, those that you have in your family that do not know Christ, those acquaintances, those neighbors, seeing you, seeing the hope that is in you. See, one of the things that will allow you and I to bear witness for Christ is that we're not gloomy gusses. We're not walking around murmuring, complaining about what's going on in the world. There's plenty to complain about. And it's very easy to get swept up talking with, getting involved with, how to remedy the situations and circumstances that our world, especially America now, is going through. That does not reflect Christ. It doesn't reflect who you are and I am in Christ. Because we have a hope. We have an assurance that what is happening here is part of God's plan. And He ultimately is going to bring to fruition the praise and honor and glory that rightly belongs to Him at the climax of the return of His Son. And until then, we're living in hell. We're living in a wicked world. We're living in a demon-driven world. But we're not to be hopeless. In fact, just the opposite. We need to reflect the hope that we have in Christ Jesus in such a way that people say, he, she, is different. Just something about that person there that seems out of place. This world's not our home. We're just passing through. We're pilgrims. They need to see the reality that we are different. That we are a new creation, that we are not overwhelmed by the world, but rather we're living above. Because we know we're going to be experiencing ultimately what God has for us above. Hope. And when they see that hope, be ready to share. Reasonably. A reasonable defense. This is my life. But it's not me. The way by the grace of God I live is because of God. It's because of my relationship with Him through Jesus Christ. Be ready to share that. How's it going to be received? Not very well. It's going to be thought of as different, strange, weird. But we have a confidence in us, a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ultimately ashamed. Where it is better, the will of God is to suffer for doing good. Come on over to Titus. 1 and 2 Timothy. And then Titus before Philemon and Hebrews. Titus, chapter 2. Reading from verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live disciplined, soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. It's altogether different than what is going on around us. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might purchase us unto himself, redeem us from every lawless deed, and purify for himself his own unique, special, different, zealous people for good works. The expectation of our glorification. Keep looking up. At any moment, the trump, the call, we're gone. At any moment, keep looking up. The expectation of our glorification is the exhortation. It's what moves us to our practical sanctification. Living apart from this world, living unto the Lord. It's a blessed hope. That's the motivation for the way we move through this life as a child of God, a witness to him of his redemption. Back to Ephesians chapter 6. We're walking through a wicked world. And by God's enablement, by his dunamis, by his power, by the presence of Christ himself in our lives, we can do that to his praise and honor and glory. In fact, there's no option for us but to be doing that. That's the way we walk in Christ. Walk in love. That's reflecting Christ to a lost world. But always remember, and as Paul brings to a close this letter to the church at Ephesus, that's the first of his letters written from that first Roman imprisonment, 60 AD. He reminds those who are in Christ that though we are walking through this life, we're engaged in a warfare. At verse 10 of chapter 6, familiar words from Paul. Finally, brethren, as for the rest, he's coming near the end of this epistle to the church at Ephesus. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. It's the only source of strength we have. And the more we are aware of our own weaknesses, the more power it provides. And that testimony that we're to have that Peter refers to, this apologia, he says, you do this without fear, but you also do it in a humble way, without fear and humbly. See, as a child of God, when the opportunity provides itself because we're living godly, it's not as though we're lording it over people. This difference that they see in us isn't something that we look down from. It is that which we look up to. Humbly, the Lord's providing now opportunity. Share Christ. And there comes the conflict, the warfare. Because the Satan, the ruler, the devil of this world, with his devices, with his schemes, doesn't want that to happen. Does everything that he has power to do, and he has great power, he's ruling this world under the sovereignty of God, under the master plan, but he's in control, and the only way to defeat and have victory over this world, over sin and Satan, the devil, is by the power of the indwelling Christ. Be strong in the Lord and in the dunamis of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, the panoply, we sang it about that this morning. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the strategies of Satan, the devices of the devil. What are those devices? You know them. Genesis chapter 3. Nothing's changed. He's a deceiver. This world is a lie. It's the original artificial intelligence. What you see ain't what is what God had intended, because it's been marred by sin. But people believe this is what it's all about. He's a deceiver. He, from the very beginning, denied the truth. Hath God said, you won't die? In fact, just the opposite. Eat of the tree of the knowledge of the fruit of good and evil, you'll be like God. Denies the truth, distorts the truth, and then displaces the truth with the lie. That's the world we're living in. But we are strong in the Lord, and he's provided every means to stand. He's given power to protect us in this wicked world. It's the armor of God, a provision of protection. And just like sanctifying the Lord God in your heart, Romans 12, 1 and 2, that experience of once for all saying, Lord, I'm yours. Here we are to put on once for all, it's in the aorist tense in the Greek, once for all and leave it on the provision of protection that God has given. And then he lays it out here. It's a provision not only of protection, but of power. Power to live in this conflict that we're engaged in. And you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenlies. This is a personal thing. Every child of God, the moment we believed, is under spiritual attack. And it's a very personal thing. I've referred to, on many occasions, Dr. Clarence Mason, who was the dean of Philadelphia College of Bible, one of my professors, who had some interesting things he used to share, just little pithy sayings. They were biblically based. You know, if you think you're humble, you ain't. But he used to say this: every person needs to know their own poison. Every person needs to know their own poison. We're weak. We're really weak. We are totally incapable of doing anything within ourselves to please God. But let's personalize it. And there are those areas in our lives that are unique to us where we're really weak. Guess who knows about those? Guess who attacks in those areas? The devil. And he's got plenty of demons to make sure that we are under attack all the time. Those things in our lives that we think, we do, that we know are not pleasing him, but they're unique to us in our personal experience. We have victory. We do not have to succumb. In fact, we've already secured the victory, put on the whole panoply of protection, the whole armor of God, so that you can stand. Power, protection, but also his power to perform. We don't just stand against, we then move. We're soldiers. Always using that experience that he was going through, chained to a Roman praetorian guard. Here he is, arrayed in his armor. There he is, soldier of Caesar, and he takes that experience, and while in prison, he says, I'm rejoicing because God's given me the power to not only stand, but to perform. He's not only given me power to be protected, but to perform. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual hosts of wickedness. Therefore, because that's true, take up once for all the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. Stand therefore girding your waist, your loins, with truth. This armor that the Roman soldier had that he was attached to had a big belt that held everything together. Those of us who have never experienced seeing a Roman soldier may have experienced seeing weightlifters where they have a big belt around their middle. It's so that they can put the force against that, and everything is held together. I have on more than one occasion spoken of the great Italian tenor Enrico Caruso, and he wore a belt, a girdle around his abdomen so that he could let that pressure be enforced to bring forth the voice. Gird your loins. Get yourself wrapped up so that you can do what you are called to do. Remember when Peter was in the boat and the Lord appeared to him and the others walking on the water, and they recognized, Peter did, it's the Lord. And he jumped out of the boat, girded his loins. He made sure that what he was wearing was put together in a way so that he could perform, so that he could get to the Lord. Truth is that which holds it together, the armor. That's the objective and the subjective truth. Reading, meditating in the Word, and then, by the enablement of the Holy Spirit, performing what is true. We're living in a lie in this world. The world needs to see truth in us. That's what holds this armor together. Stand therefore, having girded your waist, your loins, with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. The identifying of the Roman soldier was that breastplate. This was the Praetorian Guard. The garment that he wore, that breastplate, identified him as Caesar's elite guard. We belong to the Lord. And that identification is his righteousness in us and on us, the way we live. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The Roman soldier, when he engaged in warfare one-on-one, had a special sandal wrapped around his foot, up his ankle to his calf, and that sandal had little pieces of metal, like studs, for one purpose. Give him a good foundation. Give him good footing. We've become obsessed with footwear these days. Everybody's got at least 3-4 pair of what we used to call, for the one pair that we had that only cost about $3, sneakers. Remember sneakers? Now we have athletic shoes. We have walking shoes, running shoes. We have hopping shoes. Oh, we got shoes for everything, right? But the idea is that your footwear prepares you to get the job done. You got a good foundation upon which to perform. It's the gospel. That's our foundation. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Was buried. Third day rose from the dead according to the scriptures. That's our foundation. We can stand in that. And we can also, what? We can work, do. We can perform. Foundation. Gospel of peace. In addition to that, take the shield of faith, which is able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. We're under attack. You have to know truth. And that truth has to so be absorbed into our very fiber of life that we go through life by faith. So it doesn't matter what the wicked one throws at us. Doesn't matter what the wicked one does to destroy us. Our faith is able to withstand whatever he throws at us. Our faith in Christ Jesus. That which he has given to us in his word. That reveals him, what he's done, what he's doing, what he is yet to do. In addition to everything, take the shield of faith. Be able to withstand anything that the wicked one throws at you. Take as you would a gift the helmet of salvation. Protect your head. We put so much garbage in our heads. This world bombards us with so much garbage. But salvation is our hope. Christ is our hope. He's given to us that protection, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You got to be in the Word in order to win the battle. You have to be allowing the Word of God to be so a part of you that they see this world, Christ in you and in me. The Word of God has to be in us. We take in so much of the world, and we take in so little of the Word. Just think of the amount of time we're absorbing sin in proportion to the absorbing of the Scriptures. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, regardless of the occasion. We're to be in prayer. Pray occasionally. No. Pray frequently. No. Pray always, in every occasion. If we're going to be victors in this life, we have to be bathed in prayer. That doesn't mean you have to be an hour or 2 hours on your knees. What it means is that you're connected. That every experience that you are having, immediately you've thrown up to the Lord. Casting what? Casting all of our care upon Him, because what? He cares for us. So whatever you're experiencing at any time of the day, whatever the situation, pray. One of the things I think is vital that we forget is before we open our mouth to respond to anything, we make sure that we're asking guidance, that what comes out of our mouth is from the Lord. That doesn't take but a moment. Pray. Always. In and for all things. It's your lifeblood. Being watchful with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. And here he comes. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now, if Paul needed prayer, we certainly do. Here we are, each one of us, uniquely, by the grace of God, born from above, member of the family of God, a child of God, placed in a world hostile. To do what? To walk worthy of that calling, that high, holy, heavenly calling that's ours. And to always remember, as we walk, we're in a warfare. But we not only walk by His power, we go to war by His power. Power that protects us power that provides the ability to perform and proclaim Him to His eternal praise. Thank you, Lord, for again reminding us. We belong to You, part of the Beloved. And You've left us here for a time. We don't know how long. You do. And by the sufficiency of Your grace, whatever we experience, we do so in the strength of Christ. We can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. Thank You. In Christ Jesus, amen.